It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner, PJ Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and of course, you can also find our show available on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And if you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, hit the subscribe button, drop a review, leave us some stars. I would sincerely appreciate it. For today's show, what I want to do is I want to, first off, even though it's a bit older, I want to just put all of the player audio in one place. So we'll hear from Eric Gordon here in just a few minutes, as well as Austin Rivers, and lastly, Robert Covington. And I just kind of, I basically just want to get all of their kind of media availability audio put in one place, just to kind of reference back to and, you know, kind of, one, it's nice to hear from the players. You know, we go months, you know, without hearing from these guys after, you know, usually getting post-game interviews and also sometimes interactions on social media and all this stuff. And so I think it's important to be able to hear from them and kind of gauge what their mindset is going into the bubble. But the pertinent news and what I want to address before I get to the audio clips that we're going to run back is the fact that the Rockets did take off Thursday afternoon and they are now safely in Orlando. However, there are three Rockets that did not go along, as well as Coach John Lucas. So James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Luke Mbamute are not in Orlando with the rest of the team, as well as Coach John Lucas. So what does that mean? Now, everybody wants to start pointing fingers on social media and saying, all right, well, you know, game over. The boys got the big Rona. Well, that's a possibility. It is very possible that James, Russ, they both have tested positive for COVID-19. That is a distinct possibility. It's also possible that they simply delayed their departure so that they could kind of stagger their arrival with the rest of the team. And that way, the two players who are the two most important players to the organization, to the team, are not as susceptible to contracting COVID in Orlando, like as they're transitioning into the bubble, because right now the bubble is a potential hotbed for a breakout because you've got so many different players and teams and personnel all being forced into the bubble at the same time, right? So maybe it's just precautionary. Maybe they had some personal business to attend to here in Houston before leaving. I don't know what's going on. Nobody does. All we know is that James, Russ, Luke Mbamute, and Coach John Lucas are not with the team. Now, I tend to think that the Prince Luke situation is more just because he just finished officially signing his deal with the Rockets as of a couple days ago. So I feel like his is more of a like paperwork issue, or maybe he just, you know, wasn't even in Houston yet. I don't know exactly what his situation is. That one may or may not be Rona related, but I don't want to blow it out of proportion. Because let's look at this, right? Is even if they have tested positive for COVID-19, it's better that they got it now than later on mid playoffs and have to quarantine and miss, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 games over the span of a 2-week period, right? It's better that they got it now and got it out of the way. Obviously, you would have rather them just not get it at all. That's obviously the best case scenario, but that may or may not be a possibility anymore if they did contract it. Now, this kind of reminds me, so there was this breaking news story from a Swiss media outlet who did an interview with Thabo Sefolosha kind of discussing why he opted to not join the Rockets for the remainder of the NBA season. And he basically said in that piece that there were some Houston Rockets that had tested positive previously, and those names were not released. He didn't release the names. The organization cannot release the names, as we heard in the podcast with Daryl Morey's media availability audio, kind of him explaining that he can't release that information, that the NBA has instructed teams not to release that information. So unless it gets leaked, we will not know which Houston Rockets tested positive for COVID. That being said, it sounds like there were some players that tested positive previously, and it sounds like potentially Harden and Westbrook may or may not have delayed their departure because of positive COVID tests. Now, this is all just wild speculation. We don't have anything to back this up, unfortunately, but the signs point to them probably testing positive, which is why they didn't travel with the team. If it was a personal issue or something to that effect, I'd imagine that the team would probably be okay saying, oh, well, Russ isn't traveling with the team because he's taking care of something for his family, or with same thing with James. So that being said, I think it's probably COVID. It's probably for the best that they get out of the way now. They will be healthy and ready to go for the start of the season. And hopefully a month or so from now, when the actual playoffs start, they will be fully healthy, ready to go. So all that being said, I just kind of wanted to address that, which is kind of the breaking news, so to speak, the major news. And that's kind of all I got right now. I wanted to get that out of the way because that is pretty important stuff. So with that being said, I just want to run back Eric Gordon's media availability audio, and then we'll jump into Austin Rivers and wrap things up with Robert Covington. So here we go.
Well, I've been working out a while before the season, before, you know, any of the arenas opened, and I feel like I'm in a really great place, and I've been working out for a while. I'm in really pretty good shape, and I just look forward to really getting back out there.
Yeah, for one, I'm very excited to get back started, just to see what our team's all about and trying to achieve a championship. And just like any other player, it is a tough decision to go out there, you know, leave your families for so long. And with this virus, it's just at its highest peak almost everywhere around the country. And for you to be gone and away from your family is tough, you know. But at the end of the day, we know most of us, I would say, are going to go out there and play. Because hopefully everything out there is the best environment. We know Adam Silver is good at that. But at the end of the day, it is a tough call and a tough decision to go out there for sure. You know, just like any other team, it's all about, you know, staying healthy early on. Because it's almost like we're just getting right to it. And I think for us, it's all about consistency. You know, I know we've been talking about it and preaching about it all year, but we have to do it at this point. Like, you can't have you can't have any letdowns at this point. So that's why it's all about team chemistry. We have to be on point, and we got to play our best basketball from now on. I mean, from the day we get there, we have to be practicing, have a true understanding, because we don't have time to be making adjustments as we get down there, because there's just not enough games played to just figure out things along the way. I'm happy that I'm back to full health as I am now. You know, during the season, when you have a surgery during the season, it's always tough, you know. But now I'm back to, you know, myself and what I should be doing. And us playing small ball, we have to, you know, play small ball, play fast, play for one another. And we should be able to make the game easier for one another as we play, because we are a dynamic team. So when we play fast and move the ball and a lot of good things happen.
Couple quick sound bites from one Eric Gordon. Coming up, we will hear from Austin Rivers in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like your mortgage or food or rent or even throw it in savings. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you want to spend twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Getting ready to dip into some Austin Rivers media availability audio. So here we go.
I'm excited to play basketball again. I mean, the fact that we were able to work under these conditions, the NBA, Adam Silver, everybody, the NBPA has done an amazing job, owners. To be able to put something like this together in this amount of time is incredible. I mean, we're literally, the NBA is going to Disney World. I mean, think about how crazy that sentence is. And we have all the practice courts being laid down and convention centers and Wild World of Sports. By the way, nobody has played in those places more than me. I don't know a player in the NBA who scored more points in the Milk House or the Wild World of Sports. I grew up in Orlando, so this is a true like home court advantage for me, to be completely honest. So I am excited about going back and playing in the NBA where I grew up dreaming of being in the NBA. That's kind of cool.
How much do you think kind of taking everybody out of their environments and the layoff and all that stuff, how much do you think that kind of re-evens the playing field in Orlando? And do you expect to see some weird stuff in terms of?
I do. I expect to see player breakouts. I really do believe that. You're going to have a couple players that were playing solid before but are going to have breakout seasons the rest of the mini season and playoffs. I really do believe that. You got to have some new roles defined on different teams. Some guys not showing up. There's been so much time passed. Some guys have gotten better. Some guys haven't worked out. You know what I mean? There's so much variables to where, and then you have no home crowd. There's no home court advantage. It's literally like AAU days, but like on the most extreme level. And I think for that reason, you know, maybe there's pressure less. I don't know. You're not shooting in a big arena. The walls right behind the basket for the most part, you know, shooting might go up. You know what I'm saying? Like shooting might go up. There's just a lot of different things that I've sat and thought about. A lot of opportunities. There's a lot of great opportunities, man, for guys to really enhance the way they're looked at in the league. And I think that will happen on multiple teams.
Just given that it's so hard to, you know, to stay in shape and work out and like during this time, but has there been any part of your game that you wanted to look at over the past 3 months? That's the first question. And number two, do you guys really care about the matchups per se because there's no home court, or is it just trying to get as high a seed as possible?
Yeah, well, first I would say I've tried to just stay in the best shape possible. I think that's the key. Because the first month, like, nobody's playing basketball because nobody even had access to a gym. Like, the whole world was shut down, and then things, I guess I'd say fortunately and unfortunately, opened up. To be able to hoop, it's because of more spikes. But yeah, we were able to hoop, and that's when I've been able to play. So for me, it's just staying in shape. That's been the key. And then the second part of your question, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Yeah, there are certain teams I guess we would rather play. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say who, but yeah, there are definitely a couple teams that we would rather play first round. But there's no teams that like we don't want to play. At the end of the day, like in the West, if you're going to want to go to the finals, you're going to have to play the Lakers, you're going to have to play the Clippers. You know, it's one or the other. So it's like, you know, you have to be here to beat, and you have to play those two teams. So it's going to be tough. But, you know, we believe in ourselves, and we believe we have a chance to win. So I think for us, it's not about seeding. It's about us just being in the best shape and the best having the best chemistry. Like, we got to fix the little things that we needed to fix before. You know, people forget we lost, like, 4 out of 5 games before the whole pandemic happened. So I think us getting back and fine-tuning some things and I think gives us the advantage. We've had time to sit back and really think about stuff. So we'll see what happens.
You did a story recently with Kelly when he asked you about the speed of the game in terms of helping small ball. You said that can be something that you guys can amplify. Could you discuss that more, what you mean by speed within the offense? Is that more so early in the shot clock, or is it more so getting shots up early?
I think it's just ball movement and speed of the game. Yeah, us, when we get a rebound going, if we're going to play small, we have to play fast. Otherwise, you know, we're not going to go too far. I mean, it's not just me saying this, is coach talk to Mike. James, Russ, who were like, man, we do have to play. We have to play at a different speed, get the ball up, and then have the mix of, you know, James obviously doing what he does. So it's like we have to do both, but we definitely have to. If we're playing five guards or five small guys at one time, that means you've got a team with a center guard and a guard. Like, we have to utilize this ball movement, drive, kick, drive, kick, drive, kick, make defenses move. That's really hard to guard. Because if we play slow, then, you know, it just goes everything into teams like the Lakers and Clippers or all these teams that are way bigger than us. It goes right into their hands. So I just think, you know, if we're going to play small, we got to really kind of get after it.
And defensively, you've had these 3 months to kind of reflect on what was going on before you stopped play. What are some of those areas that you want to improve on as a team that you feel like you need to improve on defensively?
Well, I guess the thing is, because we're small, we switch everything. So communication for us was huge. I mean, if you don't communicate, if you're switching, you know, we are literally switching everything. I'm guarding centers, I'm guarding guards, point guards, shooting guards, small forwards. We're all switching. So communication is the key. It will be easier because we don't have any fans in the arena. So I should be able to hear everything that my defense is saying to me. So for that reason, I think we'll be a lot better defensively, just for the fact that I'll be able to hear all player chatter on the court. So I hope that translates into us being a better defensive team.
The relationship that the PA has with Adam Silver, how crucial was that to getting a deal done as quickly as you guys did?
I think it's vital. If it wasn't that case, I don't know if we'd be returning. We'd be looking at what other professional sports are going through. You know what I mean? It seems like the NBA has kind of been the trendsetter in all of this. I think it seemed like once the NBA canceled its season, the world like shut down. You know what I mean? And then it seems like as we are the first to kind of get things going again, we're going to Disney now, you're seeing other places try to other leagues, professional sports do the same thing. And I think that's a credit to the NBPA, and I think that's a credit to Adam Silver. He's a great commissioner, and he's been so compliant and making sure we're doing everything possible to make players happy. And there's only so much, obviously, you can do, he's done a great job.
Final segment of the pod, where we will hear from Robert Covington, coming up in just one moment. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, as we get ready to hear Robert Covington chat with the media.
What's going on, Rob? If you can, just how have you navigated these last few months? Obviously, being a new addition to the team, playing, 14 games, but then having this long break. Have you kind of navigated to keep yourself entrenched with what you guys do?
I've been staying ready. I had a close friend of mine that has found me a private gym to kind of keep, you know, a rhythm with shots, getting a little bit of cardio, working out. Then I found a place that I've been able to lift as well privately. And just been, you know, staying ready, maintaining. I went back home for a while to, you know, get some work in with my trainers and, you know, just, you know, did some light up and down stuff. Just like working my conditioning and stuff. So, you know, feeling pretty confident and feeling pretty good about what I've been able to do so thus far.
Hey, Rob, going back to what David talked about, you know, you just were here a short while. Of course, you got in the flow of that first game you were here. But how about picking up with that chemistry? How difficult will that be once you get here to camp and once you get to Orlando? And the second question is that, how difficult do you think it will be just being sequestered like you guys plan on being for the next few months?
It's going to be difficult regardless. Like I said, you asking people to sit up here and sit for 3-4 months and then, you know, in a short amount of time, build chemistry. It's going to take a little bit of time, but as we, you know, navigate through this, we want to do our best to sit up here and do the best we can to, you know, get that chemistry going early. That way, you know, it won't be a longer duration of time before, you know, teams start to find a rhythm, because, you know, the team that catches the rhythm first, you know, kind of has an advantage overall. But, you know, we just got to sit up here and keep maintaining and keep working as we, you know, go into this bubble. You know, it's going to be a test regardless. No matter what we go through, it's going to be a test. And, you know, we just got to continue to move forward.
Do you feel you and your teammates will actually benefit from this 3-month hiatus?
Honestly, It gives us time to, you know, give us rest. Everyone's rested. You know, we're a veteran team. I just think that it'll be good for guys to sit up here and, you know, fully get back to health and, you know, just overall ramp it up and just get back into a groove. You know, we've had a couple injuries throughout the year since I've been here, and, you know, just, you know, filling in and, you know, everybody's excited to get back to playing. And that's the main thing that, you know, we kind of focus on. So, you know, it'll be good to have everyone back, you know, full health. So, you know, just now we can sit up here and, you know, put everything into motion as a unit as a whole.
My question's about from this over these past 3 months when you've had time to reflect on your first stint here after the All-Star break. What do you feel like the team needs to continue to improve upon, especially defensively?
Just got to be learning more comfortable within our rotations and stuff, and, you know, more adamant on, you know, our switches and, you know, little things like that, you know, being aggressive and, you know, not second-guessing ourselves. That's the only thing that, you know, is really going, you know, really going to be, you know, thing that we got to really work on, because, like I said, you know, being a team that, you know, we can switch everything, we just got to be more conscious of it all.
Is being in that environment without fans help with communication on the floor, because there isn't going to be a distraction of screaming 20,000 people in the arena?
And we have talked about it amongst each other. Being no fans there, it's going to be different, because, like you said, that some people, they drive off of that. They get that thrill out of that. And, you know, it being a quiet arena, like, it will help with communication, but also that extra look give, that extra excitement that, you know, we'll have, you know, it's not going to be there. It's going to be, you know, you're going to get that from your team. And so you'll be able to communicate a whole lot better. But like I said, it's just that extra, you know, that edge that the fans give, that, you know, that spark plug. So.
And then I want to know, because you were undrafted, you played for a different team. Does that give you an advantage? You are kind of used to, wait a minute, you haven't been with one team for like 10 years or something. You've always had to work for everything you've gotten. Does that give you a little bit of an edge with all this uncertainty this year?
Absolutely. You know, the way things have played, you know, like I've had the edge regardless, because, like you said, you know, I feel like, you know, I wasn't giving a fair shot, but, you know, everybody's route is not the same. So when it's time to lace up the shoes and, you know, come out, you know, I'll give it my all. And, you know, I've been able to play that has, you know, had coaches that have pushed me to the edge, that, you know, have helped me get to this place. And, you know, overall, like, I wouldn't change it for anything. Like, you know, I love the grind. I love the grit. I've had that my whole life in every team I played on. So I've had to prove myself, you know, for everything. So it's not something that I'm not used to. And it's not something I won't ever, you know, stride away from. Because, like I said, I don't know what comfortable is. I'm always on the edge. I never know what to expect.
And that's going to do it for Robert Covington. Now, you know, I do think it's funny to address one of the things that Austin Rivers was talking about early on in his little audio segment. I do think it's funny that he considers himself to have, like, legitimate home court advantage, because he's just so familiar with the Orlando area, that he grew up there, that, you know, he's played more games there than anybody else. So I do think that is inherently kind of funny, and it might actually play into a legitimate home court advantage for him if he feels comfortable in that environment, because he's already played so many games there. And let's remember, Rivers was pretty much on fire before the NBA season got suspended. He was shooting 44% on three-pointers from games from, it was like mid-January all the way through March 10th, which was the final game that the Rockets played. So if he somehow carries that hot streak into his own little personal home court advantage inside the bubble, the Rockets are going to look really, really good. So that being said, I think that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. Just kind of wanted to get those three player media availabilities out there, get those audio recordings there for anybody who hasn't had a chance to hear them yet. And I think that's going to do it for today. So as always, thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.